And one of the blessings of serving as a pastor of a church that is affiliated with the Baptist Missionary Association of America, or BMA for short, is that we have opportunity to serve in ministries beyond just our local church. This has taken many different forms over the years, and all of our pastors have served in one way or another, or are currently serving in various roles that are associated with these ministries. And one of the things that I love about being a part of an association of churches is that we also have the opportunity to support these various ministries with a portion of the offerings that you give to the church each and every week. One of those ministries that we support is the Association of Baptist Students at the University of Arkansas. I'm blessed to be able to serve as a part of the Board of Trustees for the ABS ministry, and I was excited last Sunday afternoon when our church voted to support this ministry even more than we're already doing, and so I was excited about that. I'm also excited about the direction that this ministry is headed in. And, you know, under the direction of a new ministry team leader. Now, when Brother Warren Dugas, which I'm sure many of you know Brother Warren, when Brother Warren Dugas retired after 40-plus years of serving in this ministry, if you can imagine, 40 years serving in the same ministry, we knew that it was really going to be difficult to find someone to replace him. But God eventually led us to Brother Stuart Estes. Last fall, when our local association meeting, the Baptist Missionary Association of the Ozarks, when that meeting took place, it actually happened right here at Temple last September. And when that meeting took place, Brother Stuart shared some of his testimony as a part of his report to the association. And so this morning, I want to invite you to listen to a few minutes of his story as he shares how God opened this door of opportunity to him. Pay close attention. This is a special, special testimony.
At Walmart Corporate in Bentonville at that time, Hannah and I were also youth leaders Sometime in between that interview and the spring of 2020, I taught a lesson to our students at the church about giving up whatever your heart desires in pursuit of what the Lord's heart desires. I had these little students right down one of the books that you wrote. Tuck it away in their lives. I think Jesus has too. And the one thing I wrote down was going into full-time ministry. I wanted that. So I wrote it down. Sometime after COVID had hit, I was working from home one day, and I found this, you know, this pop, and I opened it up. And I prayed to the Lord that at that moment, I was really getting that over again. If he wanted me to remain at Walmart and share the gospel there, then that was what I wanted to do as well. I had peace after that prayer. Not a week later, Brother May called me and asked if I was still interested in that position to make this. I said, yeah, and I was talking. But I knew in that moment in my heart, maybe I've been burned up for it. And then he had simply been waiting for me to soften my heart, just to do what he asked. I started my work in the ministry in August of 2020, and to say that the world was turned upside down would be an understatement. Ministry was in disarray, and frankly, there were moments when the Lord and I both wondered if the ministry would make it. COVID had changed the pace of the university, and it was unclear if students would ever return to that campus. As I took on the role, the Lord and I had a tough discussion one night. There would not be enough to fully pay my salary at the amount they thought appropriate. So I remained at Walmart during the fall of 2020 and worked alongside both grandparents that first semester. The Lord and I had worked out that I would stay at Walmart from January 2021 this year and then transition to full-time ministry, hopefully with full pay. Now, no one knows this better than my wife or Brother Brad, but that semester my heart was in turmoil. I knew that God was drawing me into something deeper than I had felt before, but I had this American dream going, and it was good. But I was growing increasingly restless in that mold, and it was becoming clear to me that at some point I was going to have an Abraham moment in the near future. That day came in October of 2020. I logged on to my Walmart work and found out that I had been reassigned to a different team under a leader who I didn't support. And I called my wife in tears. I know that's hard to believe. I said, I'm done with this. And she said, I'm not ready, but I see that you are. Why don't you call your mom and talk to her? Now, there's no more competitive person in this world than my mom. So I called her in tears too. She started crying. I know, crazy. And explained everything that was going on. Much to my surprise, she said to me, if this is what the Lord is calling you to do, then you should at least give it a try, son. Suddenly, I realized that this was that Abraham moment I had been expecting. Here was the mighty God of Abraham asking me to sacrifice my American dream for his glory. Would I be Abraham, or would I just be some other no-name guy? Hannah and I prayed and sought wisdom for about a week or so. The Lord led us to the understanding that the end of December was the right time to leave Walmart. So I logged on to Walmart work one day, and I set a meeting with my new boss, and I told her I was leaving the week of Christmas. Much like when I gave over my desire to be in the ministry to God's desire to just do what he wanted for me, I felt peace about this decision. Would we struggle financially? What would this world think of us? What would this mean for our family? Would this ministry even make it?
all these questions pale in comparison to that peace. There's more to the story, but we don't have time for all of it. I could share more of it with you at some point if you want. But at some point in time in all of our lives, we all have to ask ourselves this question. Are we living for the great American dream, or are we living for the kingdom of God? The fact is that Stuart was questioned many times by his colleagues and his co-workers about his decision to leave corporate America and the great American dream that he had built for himself. The fact is that he left a job paying six figures a year for a ministry position that couldn't even promise him a full-time salary of what they wanted to pay. I was talking with him recently, and he just went on and on about how faithful God has been through all of this. And then he shared something with me. He said that his W-2 form for last year was not even a third of what he had received the previous year. Not even a third. And then he said, "But Brother Wade, our life hasn't changed. We haven't had to touch our savings. God has provided everything that we have needed." He said, now, Stuart, if you know him, he's a numbers guy. You know, he's very analytical in all of this. And he said to me, "Brother Wade, it just doesn't make sense how it works, but it does. God has been faithful. God has been faithful." Well, as we continue our series this morning in the steps of the Savior, we've come to the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Jesus is just getting started with his early ministry, and his fame is growing. If we can go on to the next slides, slide number 14. His fame is growing, and already he is known for his unmatched power and his unmatched authority. He had power to heal those who were sick. He had authority to cast out demons, and the aptitude to teach like no one else in his day. Well, we've come to the place in his story where he is ready to call some of his followers to a greater level of commitment. So in our passage today, we'll be observing not only the actions and attitudes of some of these men who were candidates for becoming Jesus' apostles, but we'll also consider the high price that it was going to cost them to follow Jesus. Our sermon title for today is Relinquishing All to Follow Christ. Relinquishing all to follow Christ. So if you have your Bible, I want to invite you to open it to Luke chapter 5. We'll be reading the first 11 verses of this chapter. The Bible says, "On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' And Simon answered, 'Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets.' And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, "For I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. So as we look at this passage today, looking at it verse by verse, our goal this morning is to extract the simple truths that we find there and then to draw out some personal and practical application for each one of our lives today. Now, I hope to accomplish this by asking some very simple questions about the text to help us explore these verses. The first of those questions is this: what did Simon Peter give to Jesus? What did he give to Jesus? You see, Simon Peter gave what he had. Did he not? He didn't have a lot of things, but what he did have is he gave to Jesus for Jesus to use. And what was that? A boat. He gave him his boat. First thing he did was give him his boat. Jesus went and sat down in the boat and said, "Hey, would you cast off a little bit and think about that boat for just a moment." What did that boat represent in Simon Peter's life? I think it was, number one, the source of his livelihood. I mean, he was a fisherman. He had to have that boat to be able to make money. But the problem here is that he had been working all night long and had caught absolutely nothing that night. And so imagine if you were Simon Peter. You had just come in and you were trying to wash all your nets, trying to finish your work day early that morning. And now Jesus says, "Hey, cast off your boat a little bit. Let's go out into the water." What do you think would have been going through your mind if Jesus had asked this of you? I don't know about you, but I think the first thing I would have thought of is, "I'm so tired. I don't want to do this. I just want to go home and go to bed." Amen? I mean, that's where I would have been. I think Peter might have also thought, "Doesn't he realize that I've just had a really long night? Doesn't he care about me?" Or he might have thought, "Well, why is he getting into the boat when all the people he's talking to are on the shore? That doesn't make sense to me. What's going on with that?" You know? But that's not how Simon Peter responded, was it? You see, he got into the boat with Jesus. The scripture says that he put out a little bit from the land, which, by the way, enabled Jesus to be able to speak to those people and they would be able to hear much better. It's kind of nature's form of, it's a sound system for Jesus because his voice traveled across the water that much better. He got into the boat. He did what Jesus asked him to do. He let him use his boat. But you know, the second thing that I notice here is he didn't just give him of his possessions, but he also gave of his time. He gave of his time. You see, he sat in the boat with Jesus until Jesus finished teaching. He gave his time. Folks, the most valuable commodity that we have in our lives today is time. It is. When people ask you to give them some time from your day, I wonder, how do you respond? Well, my guess is it depends on who is asking. Amen? It depends on who is asking. What if Jesus asked you for time in your day? Would you make time for him? Would you be stingy with that time, or would you be generous? Would you give it begrudgingly or joyfully? What would you do if Jesus asked for part of your day? You know, I don't know what situations you may be facing in your life today, but I presume that there is something that you are holding on to that Jesus is asking you to relinquish. Because we all do it. We all hold on to things that Jesus just wants us to give up for him. Whether that's your time, whether that's your possessions or your treasure, whether that's your talents, whatever it may be, many of us hold on to those things. My question to you today is, what is it that Jesus is asking you to give to him? The second question I think we need to look at is not just what did Simon Peter give to Jesus, but what did Simon Peter do for Jesus? What did he do for Jesus? Well, in verses 4 and 5, we see that Simon Peter complied with the Lord's instructions. In spite of his physical and emotional exhaustion, he did exactly what Jesus said. What did Jesus say? He said, "Put out in the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Peter went back out onto the lake of Gennesaret, also known as the Sea of Galilee, went back out onto the lake to fish, even after he had been out there all night long, working, trying to catch fish, and had absolutely no success. You know, the other thing that I find just amazing here, Peter is a professional fisherman. We have some pretty good fishermen here in our church. And I can promise you that if I went out on the boat with those men, I would not catch the same number of fish they would. And there's a reason why. Because I don't know how to fish very well. It's a pretty simple reason. Jesus grew up as the son of a carpenter. He was a carpenter by trade. And yet he's telling this professional fisherman to go back out into the ocean. The morning sun has come up and the sky is warming up. And Peter knew that this wasn't the ideal time to go fishing. Peter knew that he had already tried and had failed. He must have thought in his mind, "I'm not going to catch anything." But notice what he said in verse 5. He said, "We worked all night and we caught nothing." Did you notice the word I skipped? Master. He said, "Master, we toiled all night and caught nothing, but at your word." You see, Peter recognized who it was that was telling him to do this. He recognized him as the master. You know, I don't know what circumstance you may find yourself in life today, but I would guess that many of you are dealing with some level of physical or emotional exhaustion right now. And you're too tired to say amen. We are. We're worn out physically, emotionally, and that translates into spiritually. We're worn out. The question is are we allowing our physical or emotional exhaustion to keep us from obeying God? Are you willing to obey God's command for your life, even in your weary condition? And if so, what is it that Jesus is asking you to do for him today? The third question I think that we need to look at is, what was the result of obeying Jesus? In verses 6 and 7, we find out what happens. You see, because Simon Peter trusted Jesus at his word, he experienced the greatest success he had ever experienced in all of his years fishing. All of the other fishermen knew that Simon had been fishing all night long and caught nothing. They also knew that the best time to fish was at night. But in spite of this, Simon Peter went out and trusted Jesus at his word. And as a result, he caught so many fish that his nets began to break. And then when they got the fish into the boat began to sink. He had to call his fishing partners, James and John, who were still on the shore, and say, "Come out here and help me." And they filled up James and John's boat as well, to the point where that boat was about to sink. And just by the way, I don't know what kind of boat you're envisioning here, but from what I have read, this is probably a boat that's about 25 feet long and about 6 feet wide. We're talking about a lot of fish. Peter trusted Jesus with his livelihood, but you know, he also trusted Jesus with his reputation. He trusted him with his reputation. I mean, he was taking advice, fishing advice from a carpenter, y'all. He trusted Jesus, and the result was phenomenal. Now, we need to be careful here, folks. Pay close attention to this, because we cannot take success as the primary indicator of the will of God. They are not necessarily one and the same. Just because you're doing something and are successful as a result does not mean that it is God's will for your life. Peter had just had the greatest catch of his life. And in the next verses we see, God asked him to walk away from it. Leave everything. I think this is why we need to be continually praying Colossians 1:9 for ourselves. Do you remember what Colossians 1:9 tells us? It says to pray that we will be filled with the knowledge of God's will with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You know, it makes sense in my heart and in my mind that if something successful is happening, that must be God's will. That makes sense to me. But when we look at it from God's perspective, when we look at it with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, God might be saying, walk away. So, the point of all this is Peter trusted in Jesus to bring about results. He obeyed Jesus. He heard him, he listened, he obeyed. So what do you need to entrust to God today? What do you need to turn over to Jesus and say, okay, here it is. I'm putting this in your hands. I'm trusting you to do with it whatever you want to do. I'm going to obey you, Lord. What is it that you want me to do for you today? Well, this event had a tremendous impact on Peter's life, as well as the lives of James and John. And so the fourth question I think that we need to consider this morning is, how did they respond to the call of Jesus that came next? In verses 8 through 11, we find what happens. And you know, we always remember the second half of their response when they left everything and followed him. We all know that story, right? We've known that story all of our lives. Why? Because our parents invested in our biblical knowledge when we were children. You should do that too. Side note, back to the announcements. We know the story, but you know, we always remember the second response. And I think too often we overlook Peter's first response. What was that initial response? Well, the first thing Peter did was with contrition and humility, he recognized Jesus as Lord. He fell down at Jesus' knees and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." You know, I think God's purpose for our lives is for us to recognize that we are sinners in need of a Savior. That's exactly what happened here with Simon. He recognized his sin. And he said, "Depart from me." But Jesus said, "No, come to me. Because I love you. And I accept you for who you are." Now, it was later, after they were back on shore, that Peter, James, and John responded with complete obedience. Jesus called them to follow him and become fishers of men. And so without hesitation, they left everything and they followed Jesus. And so I wonder this morning, in what way do you need to respond to the Lord today? Will you follow Peter, James, and John's example and follow Jesus without hesitation? Take the leap and say, "I'll do it. I'll do whatever you're calling me to do, Lord. I'll trust you to show me. I will trust the results that you want to happen will happen. I entrust that to you. I'll do whatever you want me to do." Will you follow their example? Four things. Four things that I want you to consider this morning, prayerfully, asking God, "Lord, what do you want from me?" What is Jesus asking of you, of your time, of your treasure, of your talent? What is he asking you to give to him today? What is he asking you to do for him today? What is he asking you to entrust to him today? And how are you going to respond? This is the simple message of the day. I'm going to ask our praise team to come, and we're going to sing a song. The song simply says, "Lead me, Lord, I will follow. Lead me, Lord, I will go. You have called me, I will answer. Lead me, Lord, I will go." Father in heaven, I thank you for this example of Simon Peter there on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. I thank you for the way that we see him respond to you. And Lord, I pray this morning that each one of us here will accept this challenge to follow you, to do whatever you're calling us to do, to trust you with the results. Lord, I just pray that as we sing this song, that each person here this morning would spend a moment of time thinking about what it is you're asking them to give up for you today, to do for you today, to entrust to you today. Lord, help them to think about how they should respond. And Lord, help them to do it without hesitancy whatsoever. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.